with sounds and you associate with songs. God for.
Come on, we could do better than that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. His love is all I need to know. Hallelujah. It's his love that's going to pull me through. That is a very powerful song. That is a very special song to me that Pastor Glover's mom sang many, many years ago at a ministers and wives retreat up in Alaska. It was a time in my life where, as a young preacher, I didn't know where I fit in. And I remember after she sung that song, I found myself alone with God. And God told me, I put my message in your mouth, now deliver it. And it was just a confirmation that, you know, sometimes as a young preacher, you're with the big wigs and you just feel like, oh, no, you got Blackshear, you got Glover, you got this one, you got that one. And you just kind of feel like you don't measure up. But God said, I put my word in your mouth. And that song is very, very special to me. My wife doesn't hear it because she usually leaves before I get in the shower. But that is a song that I actually sing in the shower a lot. I don't know if Isaiah hears me. But it's a very special song to me. Look at your neighbor and say, thanks for being here. Amen. Now look up to God and say, thank you for saving me and giving me a hope for tomorrow. I thank you for you being here today. I want to, last night as I was preparing for this and, you know, as you prepare for a sermon or what are you going to do, you write down notes, you write down thoughts, you find scriptures that correlate to what you're going to preach about. That's kind of how preachers, well, that's how I get my messages together, but I love it when God kind of puts his knee in my back and says, I'm going to take it tomorrow, which means I am going to impart into you something that my people need to hear, and your notes need to go somewhere. So I don't have many notes as more as just scriptural references because I know God is going to do a work in people's souls today for eternity. Amen. And as on Friday, we talked about the tabernacle and how we are supposed to live the tabernacle and how God laid the blueprint out for the tabernacle, not just to be a structure or dwelling place, but actual something that we are supposed to live out. And so we talked about that on Friday, and this is kind of a continuation of that. But I want to talk about a subject that I believe all of us struggle with because of the way it has been delivered to us all of our lives. And that is on the subject of faith. It is something that we hear about, we get preached on it about, we get taught in Sunday school about, and we have scriptural references that tells us how we are supposed to, how our faith is supposed to operate in our life. However, when we look at the scriptures and we see how faith operates in our life, sometimes it feels like we don't measure up. Amen. And so we're going to talk about that, and I hope today that God will show you that the reason why our faith is lacking sometimes is we are missing one main ingredient. And I hope to communicate that to you this morning. Amen. If you can turn your Bibles to, and we talk about the faith chapter, so we're going to start in Hebrews 11:1 is something that all of us can quote by heart. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And the New King James Version says the same thing. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And we have heard this scripture many times, Michael. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. And we've also heard it preached that if we don't have faith, it is impossible to please God. And that's scriptural. And so if I don't have faith, that means I can't please God. And so even with me having the Holy Ghost, if I lack faith, therefore I am not pleasing to God, which puts my salvation in jeopardy. Amen. And so it behooves us as the church body to try to grab a hold of faith and understand what it is that I'm lacking so that I am not pleasing to God. But if you, and I believe Paul wrote Hebrews, and just stand for just a couple more minutes, we're going to get there. I believe Paul wrote Hebrews, and he's talking about a conglomerate of subjects in the entire book of Hebrews. And he starts out with 11:1 saying, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, which means it is a continuation of a statement or an issue he was working out previously. So in order for us to search the scriptures diligently, we have to turn back to Hebrews 10. And if you can turn there, it says that, and I'm going to summarize a lot of things. If you can turn to Hebrews 10, we're going to start in verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with these sacrifices which they offer year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. He's talking about the sacrifices that the priests used to offer at the tabernacle. Scooping down to verse 4, it says, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. We go down to verse 7. It says, then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God. If we go down to verse 11, it says, and every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. Keep going. We're going down to 16. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. In their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Talking about the Holy Ghost. Now go down to verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest. Remember, we're talking about the holies of holies on Friday. By the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil. The veil was ripped, that is to say, his flesh. In heaven and high priest, he took on the embodiment of the high priest unto the house of God. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with a pure water. Talking about the brazen laver. Going down to verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as ye see the day approaching. Verse 30, for we know him that hath said, vengeance belongs to me, I will recompense, saith the Lord, and again the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Verse 36, for ye have read, you have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. And if you continue that thought, and going into Hebrews 11:1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Lord Jesus, we love you. We praise you. Anoint me. Anoint your people to receive what you have for them today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Almighty. And so Paul here, Sister Sandy, is laying out a beautiful depiction of our salvation in Hebrews. And the thing that I want to really concentrate on says, now the just shall live by faith. And you and I, because we believe in God, it can be counted to us as righteousness. So we are considered the just. So we are supposed to live our lives, Michael, by faith. And it says, but if any man draw back, he says, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. If you study that out and it says, now the faith shall live, that word live literally means breathe, which means your breath is supposed to be shrouded in faith, which means if you don't have the faith, you don't breathe. That's what that word literally means. But it says, but he goes a little further. He says, Pastor, he says, but if any man draw back. And so, you know, I'm a typical knucklehead educated in the Maryland, D.C. school system, so I'm not too bright. And so I'm just like, okay, if you just don't believe, I guess you go. No, no, no. Paul uses words in the Greek. That word, if any man draws back, can be traced back to our word, which means hypothesis, which is an educated guess, which means if you are down to the point to where you just think faith is an educated guess, God is going to draw back from you. Woo, oh, Lord, have mercy. So Paul is really giving the church a warning, saying, how dare you even dare to think that it is just your mindset that is supposed to increase your faith, but is a belief and a justification by God's power for your faith to grow and be strengthened by his might. Oh, somebody clap their hands. Hallelujah. That is why faith is so important. And that is why Paul is so adamant in telling us we have to live by faith, to just have to live by faith. So if we turn to Hebrews 11:1, we see that now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And Sister Glover, you and I grew up in church and we've heard it in Sunday school. It says that, you know, it is impossible to please God if we don't have faith. But then, Michael, my Sunday school teacher used to tell me that in a Sunday school lessons that in Matthew 17 and in Matthew 21, it talks about this, the faith of a grain of a mustard seed. And if you have the faith of a grain of a mustard seed, you can look to the mountain and say, be thou removed, and it shall be moved. And he talks about the fig tree in Matthew 17, talking about if you have the faith, the same thing of me cursing this fig tree, you should be able to do, and much more if you have faith without doubt. So that means when pastors preaching or whoever's preaching and people come up here sick and we lay hands on them and they don't recover, does that mean you doubted when you prayed? Or is there something else that is lacking in my faith that inhibits me from believing that God is the God of salvation? Hallelujah. So therefore, we have to step back and understand what the scriptures actually say instead of just taking everything that I've learned from being knee-high and throw it in the water and say, God, please minister to me and break that veil and take me into the Holy of Holies so that your revelation populates my mind. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost in here. And that's why Paul in Romans, he talks about a renewing of our minds, talking about all these things. Because, Michael, the thing that is confusing to me is that in Romans 12:3, it says, and it talks about God's love or his goodness drawing us to repentance. And that is so powerful because it's not about the works that I do. It's not about all these things, but it is his love that draws me to repentance, his goodness. Hallelujah. And so we continue down in Hebrews, and it says, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. That was it. No 40-day fast. No Bible reading chart. No, I pray 30 hours in a 24-hour span. He pleased God. That was his testimony. But without faith, Paul continues, it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And it goes on talking about, they call this the chapter of faith, and it talks about Noah, and it talks about Noah, and it talks about Abraham, talking about Abraham looking for a city whose foundations, whose builder and maker was God. And so, as you start to look deeper into faith, it says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. And how can they be sent, how can they preach unless they be sent? Talking about a preacher. So God has set it up, and it is his way he set it up, that when your man of God preaches, your faith is supposed to grow. So if pastor is preaching and your faith is not growing, what is wrong with that situation? Oh, 2017, we're going to get down into the word. And so does it mean that your man of God is not anointed? No. You have probably the most anointed preacher in all of Pentecost. And I'm not saying that because he's sitting here. The man is a preaching machine. So we get the good anointed word. And then Sandy and all them praising up here, the spirit and the atmosphere of the church is good. Amen. So you feel the presence of God. So why is not my faith increasing when the man of God who is anointed is giving me the word, but my faith is still stagnant when I stand before God? Oh, glory be to God. Oh, this is calm down a little bit. We're going to get there. And so it is very I get angry sometimes, Michael, because I say I'll be 40. What are we, 43 this year, 42, whatever, wherever we are, 42 this year, and been preaching for 20 years, 21 years, and there's so many mysteries of God that I still haven't figured out, and I get revelation, I get things that God doesn't even allow me to preach yet because it's not time, and I get mad at him, because I say, well, if you let me do this, I might even preach that because of the times, oh, because of the revelation you give me, but God says, no, it's not your time yet. I say, okay, I'll be obedient, even though I'm stubborn, and so I have all these things and all these thoughts going through my mind, and I'm saying, okay, God, why is it that this faith thing is so confusing to those that are in Pentecost? Hallelujah. Let's go to Romans. Let's just go to Romans and just sit there for a while, because I think, hold on, my Bible wants to act crazy right now. Let's go to Romans 2, and it says that we talks about Romans 2, and let's go to verse 4, and it says, "Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance." And let's go to Romans 12. I'm sorry, my iPad is acting a little crazy right now. "I beseech you therefore, brethren," starting in verse 1, "by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith." So when you were born, God gave you a measure of faith. So, Chelsea, does that mean that he gave me 1/4 of a cup of a measure of faith? Did he give me 2/3? Did he give me 3/4? Did I get a full cup? Doesn't say. But I've been given a measure of faith. And so that means, and I personally believe in, and you can believe it how you want, I believe that that measure of faith, Weston, is an innate ability of man to know that he was created to worship something. And so in our subconscious, whether you in the church or out, you know that there is something out there you are supposed to worship. Because people thought, God says, talks about the love of money is the root of all evil. But I tell you this, the reason why this world is so far away from God is that we worship idols in our life. It could be your family. It could be your wife. It could be your husband. It could be your car. It could be your job. But man is longing to worship something. And instead of worshiping God Almighty, we worship the things of this world. And that is why what corrupts that little measure of faith that we've given at birth. Hallelujah. And so I have faith. And so in order for me to have faith and for it to grow, I got to believe that God is who he is. How many here have the Holy Ghost? Raise your hands. All of us have the Holy Ghost. That's a good thing. And so, sir, when you got the Holy Ghost, you had to make up in your mind that God is God. It wasn't about the preaching and it wasn't about the organ. It was about you had to make a self-conscious decision in your inner bowels that says, God Almighty is my God. That's the only way you can get the Holy Ghost. You can go through the motions getting baptized, but in order for God to come to, oh, Lord, become the well in you. You've got to reach a point in your life when you say, God is my God, and no other person, no other entity will separate me from you. And when I lift up my hands, I receive the Holy Ghost, and a new tongue starts to speak through me. And that is when the initial birthing of my faith. But in order for my faith to grow, there needs to be another transformation. Lord have mercy. In that transformation, I gotta calm down. I'm not ready yet. Go on and sit down. I'm not gonna be before you long. So my faith there is grown strong in the exception of receiving the Holy Ghost. But Sister Sandy, we got to go back to when Pastor preaches. My faith is supposed to be stronger now because he preaches every week, giving me the word of God. So why am I stuck in this place of destituteness? My faith is just stuck. Oh, glory. Michael, you got to help me a little bit. Come on here, Michael. So if my faith is to grow, the secret that we are all not accustomed to is that my faith must be surrounded by God's love. And when I accept, hallelujah, go on and sit down, that my love, that his love for me is shrouded in my faith. So when Pastor preaches, it is love that is coming from the pulpit, and you respond to his love. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so when that love starts to interact with my spirit, my faith grows strong in him. Clap your hands, everybody, and shout to the Lord with a voice of triumph. Hallelujah. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. Hallelujah. And that is the missing ingredient, because we sit here so long not truly understanding the love of God. We quote the scriptures. We know the scriptures, but we don't live the scriptures, because it's something. If Bill Gates came in here right now, or matter of fact, you Seahawks fans, Paul Allen, who's a multi-billionaire, and he says, I'm going to write this church a blank check, we would all be foaming at the mouth because we know his bank account. But if you know the bank account of God and the love, hey, oh, glory be to God, and you know the love that he has for you, my faith is shrouded and growing in him. Oh, I feel like holding the harvest some church. Oh, somebody get crazy and run around the house. We're going to have a Holy Ghost party in here, because God is trying to show Connect Point that your faith is in me because of my love. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. And so now, as we go deeper and we in our walk with God, we see that my faith should grow, because when I see Pastor preach, it means that love is coming from the pulpit, from the messenger, that love is spewing out of his mouth. So they say, oh, Brother Dunn, what about the hard ones that got me at the altar? Oh, thank God for a God that loves me so much. He's willing to beat me up a little bit to make sure that I remain the apple of his eye. You don't know how much God loves you. That's the reason why so many of you, including myself, walk through this world with our head hanging down, because we refuse to accept his love. You've got to make it personal. Oh, I love you, Michael. I love you, Pastor. But he died for me. Oh, only me. And when I know that and I understand it, my faith grows, because when the word comes, I know that he loves me. This I know. Hallelujah. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost in here. And so Paul had it all wrapped up when he says we have to know the depth and the breadth and the width of his love. Listen to me. In order for you to grow us, if I pray 20 people through, that means my faith is strong. If I raise somebody from the dead, that means my faith is strong. If I go to the bank and my credit score is 280 and they still give me a loan for $300,000, that means my faith is strong. Oh, glory be to God. And that's real faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so, but the thing when we get home and the thing that we wrestle with of our inner thoughts is we start to compare ourselves. I compare my faith to Michael's experience. I compare myself to Sister Glover's experience. And I say, well, if Sister Glover is doing this, that must mean she prays and fasts all these hours, and I must do a little bit more. Your salvation does not come by works. It comes by faith in Jesus. It comes by faith in Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah. And so I want all of you to understand today that when you got up out of your bed and you decided to shower and come here to church, your faith guided you in. And when you started to praise unto God without somebody lifting your arms up on their own, your faith guided you. And when you listen to the word of God from Pastor Michael or myself or Elder, it means that you respond to it. It means your faith is guiding you. And so when I start to put all of my inner thoughts to the sideline and I start to just respond to his love, my faith grows proportionally, not to be measured by man, but to be measured by the power of God. That's why, glory be to God, I can go to Afghanistan and through 45 convoys and not have a scratch hurt on my body. And when they did have a convoy hit, and I was sitting in my room crying because we had lost somebody, and I said, God, I prayed every day that no one would die while I was here. And God came to me in an audible voice and said, you don't know how many lives are saved because of your prayers every day and because of your prayers of your church. Oh, glory be to God. I'm so glad that my faith is in God and not in me, oh man. I'm so glad that my faith in him will increase my salvational experience, that I will walk the streets of gold. You and I haven't seen heaven. You and I didn't see Calvary. You and I didn't see him raise people from the dead. But by faith, I know. Oh, glory be to God. I know he walked the earth. I know he did miracles. And I know he died for me. So it's not just believing. It is knowing. It is fact. Hallelujah. Because the Bible says by faith we know that he created the world by his word. And it framed it together. I didn't see him hang the stars, Michael, but I know he did. I don't need some science book telling me that the sun is 93 million miles away. I know it because God said so. That's all I need. And if we start to separate ourselves from the thought process of man and allow our faith to guide us every day, people will look at you and say, what a mighty God you serve. And it will lead them to a place of repentance. And they will have a connection with God. And many people will fill these pews because your faith is going to set people free. Hallelujah. 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 I'm closing. I'm closing. As we talked about on Friday, about the tabernacle experience, faith is something that sometimes a little bit easier for us in this dispensation because we have the scriptures readily available. We have technology right at the grasp of our fingertips. But it's easier, but it's severely lacking with this generation. In previous generations, it did not have all the technology. I'm Sister Glow, if you could play. Didn't have all the technology that we have. They had an experience with God. Oh, glory be to God. When Pastor was talking about the songs that they sang back then, it was an anointing on those words that you would see people growing up before the preacher even stepped forward. You would see people speaking in tongues, getting the Holy Ghost because of those songs. You want to know why? Because those people had faith in God and said, I'm going to show you my faith by my works. And as I pen these songs, whether I'm fasting, but everything that I do is going to be shrouded in my intimacy with God. And everything that I do is going to be for him. And when we get to that point, you walk into yokes and people start to fall out because of the presence of God. the presence of God on your life. The faith in this church needs to grow. It needs to grow. Not because you want to be in the who's who of the Bible, but because you're so intimate with God that you actually joy in your tribulations. Me and Pastor were talking about this. I think Michael, all three of us were talking, and I think it was a couple of months ago. And I said, Sister Glover, I said, I pray one day I will walk away after I've been persecuted, enjoying and glorifying God that I was counted worthy to suffer for his name's sake. His disciples, after they were beaten, scourged, they were happy and joyful going back home because they were counted worthy to suffer for his name. All of you follow the news. I'm not trying to get into this end time prophecy and all that stuff, but you know one of the key countries that's going to come against Israel in the last days is the Soviet Union, Russia. It is. And Putin is just putting his toe deeper and deeper in the water. I hope I do scare people. It's no more time for games. I said, God, what can I do this year that I've never done before? And he said, you and Michael need to join your hearts with your pastor so that there is a weeping for the lost. That is, I can preach the greatest messages in the world, but if I don't have a soul and a longing for the lost, I'm just an orator and not a minister. And some of you, I look at your lives, and you talk with Pastor and Michael more than me, but sometimes God allows me to just peek into your life sometimes. And I see the hurt, and I see all the pain that you've gone through, and I see you sit in church, and you say, oh, God, why me? Why did this happen to me? And God is just saying, if you would just trust me and fall into my love, I will still hold you and build you up so that you will be a witness for all. But we don't believe that because our faith is so low. And I'm almost begging people today, January 8th or 9th, whatever day it is, that you will be the day, this will be the day, Michael, where you reach back a year from now, and if God should tarry, and you will say, that's the day that I said, I'm all in. I'm all in. I'm all in. Why do we show up to pray on Fridays and Saturdays? Why are we going to show up on the first Friday of every month to hear service? Why do we show up at 12 o'clock or 11:30 on Sundays? Is it because pastor makes you do it? Some of you showed up because you just didn't want to disappoint your pastor. Some of you showed up like Isaiah. He doesn't have a choice. He's my son. Jasmine doesn't have a choice. But when is it going to be the day when you say, today is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice, for he has made me glad? When is that not just going to be a church experience, but when you're at your job, you're going to be sitting, I don't care if you work in a factory, I don't care if you pump gas, I don't care if you operate on people, but in your heart and your mind, you're going to say, God, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your love. And allow that faith to grow. I close with this. When this man preaches, there should be a reverence and an anticipation that when he's finished, or even when he is still preaching, that people are running to the altar because God is dealing with them. And he's trying to cause a situation in your spirit. This flesh is going to die, but your soul is going to spend eternity somewhere. And so what the spirit, what the preaching does is that it strengthens your inner man to deal with the fleshly desires of this world. Amen. And so when he preaches, we should have great anticipation that God is going to do something in your spiritual man that is going to change you for eternity. And then, because notice, and I'll teach on this, he said, faith cometh by hearing. He didn't say reading. He said hearing. Now, you would think you would retain more by reading. But God said, that's not so. It's going to come by you hearing the word of God from the messenger that I have sent. Why? Because how God has made human beings is that when we hear the spoken word, it does something to our spiritual man that reading cannot do. What the reading of the word does is it opens you up to receive what the messenger is about to give you. So that when you're reading the word, your body and your mind and your temperament is ready to receive what thus saith the Lord. But it's the hearing that is going to save you. Let's stand. Let's stand. Ten years, Pastor Glover and I have been here at this church, and we came 2 weeks apart. And it's amazing how my wife would tell you, I had put in my application to be a recruiter in Alaska back in 2005 and got accepted, and I was about to transform into the Alaska State Guard and be a recruiter. Got accepted and everything. We were going to buy a house in Anchorage, and we were going to do all these things until God put an abrupt stop. And then I didn't know Brother King that well, and my wife and I, through prayer and talking with other people, we were going to go to Brother Mayo's church because that was the only church we had heard in this area. And then 2 weeks, Pastor Bishop Blackshear comes and says, Brother Dunn, that's how he talks. Brother Dunn, Brother Glover, and Sister Melinda Glover are moving to Spokane, and we think you guys will work great together and go there and help them out. And me and Greg didn't know each other that well. We knew of each other. He had come through Anchorage a lot preaching. But God situated that for both of us to come 2 weeks. And this isn't about me and him being great. What I'm trying to say is, God has brought these collective souls together in this church for a time such as this. But you have to believe that you are an integral part of what God wants to do. It can't just be on Pastor Michael and myself. It can't just be on Chelsea, Jana, Sister Glover. It just can't be on Sister Sandy or Sister Moore or some of the other ones. It has to be on all of us. And I pray that as we enter deeper into this new year, that when we wake up, there is such a fellowship and a longing for God. Me and Pastor were talking about this yesterday, talking about, you know, how God is dealing with both of us about, you know, you spend too much time on Netflix and Hulu and all that stuff. And I'm just, last night, I just was sitting there reading my word, getting ready for today. And I just said, God, if there's anything in my life that will keep me and my family from walking the streets of gold, take it out. Take it out, take it out, take it out. Because I refuse to allow this world to be my dwelling place for eternity. I'm telling people, your children, lay hands on them. Speak to their future. The ones that are in church, Jaden, not in church now, but he has a soul that God cares about. He might be doing everything under the sun, but as long as a mother and a father would stand before God and say, God, save my baby. I know he's not doing what all he should do, but God, at one time in his life, he had hands lifted up. He had tears streaming down his face, and he was connecting with you. Let that be again. I'm trying to tell people, those of you that have lost spouses that don't seem to be doing the right thing, if you would just lay them at the altar and your faith through God's love would start to consume you, you would say, God, maybe not today, not tomorrow, but someday he or she is going to be standing in your courthouse, in your courtyard, singing praises unto your holy name. I got a son that's in jail. He spent more time in jail the last 5 years than anything. And now my wife and I weep for him. But God just told me the other day, he said, don't you forget your baby. Don't you forget your baby. I know you're mad at him. He's broken your heart. But don't you forget how many times you've torn my heart out, Albert Dunn. Don't you forget all the times that you've disappointed me. But my love has never been taken away from you. Don't you dare take it away from Kendall. Don't you dare take it away from him. Because he's going to need the approval of a father when he gets out. That is my hope. I don't know what's going to happen when he gets out, but I do know that he has a mom. He has a dad that's going to lay his name up before heaven and say, God, save my baby. Save my baby. And the reason why I can tear up and not be so caught up in being downtrodden, because my faith is shrouded in love for him. My faith is shrouded in God's love, and I know he'll do it. I know he'll do it. Oh, glory be to God. Abraham had the promise. He had the promise that Isaac would be the seed that would bring salvation, or be the seed of the son of promise. But yet and still, God told him to offer his son, his only begotten son. And the Bible candidly says, Michael, that Abraham knew that if he did have to take Isaac's life, God had the power to resurrect his son, because he knew that the promise was through Isaac's seed. Hear the word. Hear the word. Hear what God is saying to his church. Understand that God is showing me visions of this road right here, of people coming up this road. And because of the essence and the power of what's residing in this building, people will turn their cars into this parking lot. And y'all, want you to picture this parking lot, not with cars so perfectly parked, but cars just turned any which way, because people are getting out of their cars, leaving them running, coming through the doors, knocking Brian down, coming in this edifice and falling down on their knees and said, I don't know, but there is a power that is drawing me in this place right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I was listening to Pentecostals of Alexander this morning. I try to listen to them in the morning. And Brother Mangum was talking about them getting ready for, because of the times and the church going through this and taking communion and fasting and all that stuff. And they say when all those preachers get there, Michael, it's going to be an awakening. I think that's the theme. But I'm trying to say, is there going to be awakening at Connect Point right now? Is there going to be an awakening right now? Is there going to be awakening for God? An awakening that says, I must put all the things that constantly hold me back, and that my faith will be shrouded in his love to grow and be strong. I open up these altars and I ask, whoever you are, that you come and that you have that divine interaction with God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let God deal with you. Let him deal with you.